Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 6 through 11. As I had indicated the last time that I was sharing with you, I'm working my way through the 4 points that I will include in evangelism. First one is we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second one is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Third one today, we're going to take a look at combination of 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock is going to be the love of God. The love of God. And fourthly, at the end of 11 o'clock, we're going to take a look at you must believe. So the 4 things that I like to include in my presentation of the gospel, and again, I always try to encourage you to develop your message of salvation that you can share with somebody. Hope that you were able to enjoy some divine appointments this week. I was able to do that myself. Again, it's always a joy being able to speak for the Lord Jesus Christ before those that are in the world. Romans chapter 5, let's read verses 6 through 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for the righteous man, though perhaps a good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's just commit this time to the Lord in prayer. God and Father, we come into your holy presence again this morning, even as we think of Philippians 2, we willingly now bow the knee to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. We thank you for this message of salvation that you have given us, the ones that have experienced the wonders, the ones that you have tasked with being part of the communication process. We pray that as we walk through our daily lives, that you would give us divine appointments where perhaps we may only be able to acknowledge you before those in the world. But, oh, Father, it would be wondrous if you opened the door and we had the joy of leading some lost soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that you would continue to thrill and to encourage our hearts as we go. Father, as I share these thoughts this morning, I pray that you would bless the meditations of my heart, and I pray that they would be a blessing to all that are here. We pray these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I really have enjoyed the study that I'm going to be bringing both at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, and I'm not going to make a clear division. It's going to be where my notes end and our time ends, and then we'll pick up at 11 o'clock. But, you know, I really enjoyed spending time thinking about salvation. And again, this morning, our meditations of the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he's done in our life. What can we say? What can we say? The fact that God would work this program out for us, be brought back into relationship with the uncaused cause of the universe, the holy, holy, holy God of the Bible, is a wonder. As I wrestled, actually it's been for a little while now, there's one other little caveat about salvation that I'm going to try to explain. So if you want to quietly pray that I would be able to communicate that would be great. We're going to go ahead and give that some consideration this morning. Whenever I read Romans chapter 5 in the verses that we looked at this morning, what a wonder. What a wonder. Why would God ever do what he did to make it possible for us to have a relationship? I was thinking of John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world. God so loved you. God so loved me. God so loves the worst rascal out there. God so loved the most saintly person. There's only one way to come into relationship with Almighty God, and that is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever gone down this trail, but I'm going to take you down for just a couple of minutes to think about. Why did God go about making this creation and then, can I say, allow it to fall apart? That was my thinking, even as a teenager after I came to know the Lord. Why this complexity? Why such a struggle? Why did he go ahead and make the heavens and the earth? Well, thankfully, God's word gives us a little insight there. Psalm 19, for the heavens declare the glory of God. So there's a purpose in everything that he does. But overall, we're so dense. We're so sinful. Why would he build the splendor of the heavens? Well, why is it that he allows sin, death, suffering, struggles? Why did he let those come into his creation? And as I was contemplating that, I think you'll see where it led me to. Why do we have him talk about this place called heaven? Is that really important? And why does he spend time talking about this hideous place that we talked about last time? The lake of fire. Staggering topics that we find in God's word. We spent a little time this morning meditating again on the salvation. Why did God go about creating this incredible salvation story? And then this was a question I asked quite a few years ago, and I was staggered with the answer. I'll give you the answer. But the question was, with as messy as all this is, why didn't God take the big eraser out and wipe all of this away and make it disappear and start over again? A good question. I remember the older gentleman that I asked that question to, I was almost sorry that I did because he was pretty profoundly convinced. But there were two answers that were given in mind. The first was, if God were to completely wipe the slate clean, if all of a sudden we're gone and he goes to start over again, just think there is an aspect where somewhere in eternity somebody could look back to God and said, you failed, you weren't in control. You didn't win over this adversary called sin. And so I took it face value. I think God continues to work with it because he is not challenged. Sin is not going to win. And so despite the fact that we might sit there and say, wouldn't it be nicer just to clean it all up and make it go away and start over? No, because he's going to resolve the challenges that we have today. I would submit to you, though, a second thought that I have in mind is more comprehensive. And that is because of his glory. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll read 9 through 11. Philippians chapter 2, a passage you know well. starting at verse 9. Therefore also God highly exalted him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every single knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brothers and sisters, that's what it's all about. It's about the glory of God the Father. Everything that he does is to bring glory to him and who he is. Look over at Jude. I could say Jude chapter 1, but that's the only chapter that we have. But look over at Jude for just a second. And I'd like to read the benediction that we sometimes refer to. Jude, looking at verse 24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be what? Glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. I would submit to you this whole event called creation has been put into place by God for his glory. He will receive glory by the time we are finished, what we would call the time of earth, until the new heavens and the new earth come on the scene. Just before I pop you with the one other consideration, let's just do a little foundation check about God. Just reflect with me. I'm going to kind of go down a list that I've built here. This is our God. This is the uncaused cause of the universe. His name is Yahweh. And as I said, that basically means the uncaused cause of the universe. He is sovereign over all. There is nothing that is equal with him or is above him. He is sovereign over all. Moses at the burning bush found out that he was called the I Am. I am that I am. I never had a beginning and I never had an end. Here's one that is a topic much in today's society. But God is moral and ethical in all of his dealings. God cannot sin, and he will always act morally and ethically in all of his dealings with creation and all. He is sinless. In fact, we find he cannot sin. Here's one that's beautiful. He's faithful. When he makes a promise, he's going to keep it. He's all powerful. He can't do things that are against his character. But outside of that, nothing is too great for our God. We sit here and we groan within. He knows all things. He knows when you sit down and when you get up. He knows our thoughts before we speak them. Praise God. He is everywhere. He's eternal. No, okay. I kind of short circuit there. I can recognize my birth date. I don't remember it. I know time now, and I have the concept of living for eternity. I have no way to process that God never had a beginning. But he is eternal. He's never had a start. He's always been, and he always will be, yesterday, today, and forever, if we can put it into our terms. Oh, praise God. He's changeless. Doesn't change. It's the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's abundantly good. Abundantly good. And he blesses us in so many wonderful ways. He's compassionate. He's gracious. He's totally reliable. And of course, as we're considering this morning, he is full of love. God is love. When you think about God compared to us, just think. God doesn't need anything to continue existing. He doesn't need to worry about having enough air. He doesn't need to worry about where his next meal is going to come from. He doesn't need fast cars. He doesn't need rocket ships. He doesn't need companionship. He doesn't need companionship. We thrive. Our existence is so driven by companionship. But God eternally did not need companionship. God never gets lonely. God doesn't need me. When it's all said and done, God doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. Because God needs absolutely nothing. So then, if God needs nothing, then what did he do creating this heavens and the earth? If he doesn't need us, why did he create the heavens and the earth? In 6 days, he brought it into existence. If God doesn't need companionship and he doesn't need anything, why did he create angels? Why did he create you and me? If God doesn't need anything, why would he allow sin to come into this creation that was pronounced on the 6th day as being very good? Why did he allow sin to come in, and rebellion and wickedness to come in and taint and dirty his creation? Well, there are some choices that need to be made in life. We as human beings, we really like simplifying life and getting automation. I remember watching a YouTube video and I kind of shuddered because there was a company that was developing driverless trucks. Can you imagine 18-wheelers going down the road and not having a driver? You just had a command center somewhere. We like that automation. Selfless, or Uber selfless driver cars. Or we've got Ford, where you end up having their little clap thing. They don't have their hands on the steering. It automatically follows the road. It'll pass a vehicle. We love automation. How many of you have a robotic vacuum cleaner? Okay. Oh, we have some that have robotic vacuum cleaners. We'd love it. Maybe somebody here has one of those vehicles. How many of you like parallel parking? Oh, I agree. But don't we have commercials now where the Genesis or whatever cars, and they're so proud because they just come up on the side and they push a button. And all of a sudden, the steering wheel starts doing its turning, and it backs in, and that's perfect. We love automation. How many of you ever have taken a look at videos of an Amazon distribution center? Do it sometime. Just go to YouTube and type in Amazon distribution center. There aren't very many people in those places, and they've got these robots. The robots will go down, and they'll go into columns, and they lift up the whole row of shelves. And then they go back out into the ALO and go down until they got to the place where finally a person will pull out the pieces. And so the people that are packaging, all they're doing is just pulling stuff out according to what is delivered in all these robots. We love automation. We like automation because of a couple things. Computers generally don't have attitudes. Now, I get an attitude with computers every once in a while. And actually, it's not so much angry with the computer itself, it's the programmer. Who at Microsoft thought that it meant that I needed to, no. So it gets frustrating, but computers and automation, they don't have attitudes. A CNC machine, which is a special machine that creates parts, it's very, very accurate. All of us, we're going to sit there with our micrometers and, oh, I've got 2,000ths to go. Oops, I want a 10,000ths. No, automated computer-controlled machines will get it accurate the very first time. They're faster than us. They don't require human resources. I don't have to worry about a paycheck. Don't have to worry about workers' comp. They do exactly what we program them to do. We like automation. But here is the rub. Do you know what? God does not want robots. He doesn't want robots. He could easily create a trillion worshipers of himself and say, worship me, and they would. But God does not want robots. God wants to create beings, you and me, and angelic beings. He wants to create beings that want to worship and praise and honor and glorify him. Doesn't want a robot for it. He wants human beings that want to worship, glorify, and honor him. So the question I came to finally was, so how does he find out if a created being wants to worship him? He has to put them to a test. Adam and Eve were put to a test. Said, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat of that. Serpent came, Eve ate, Adam ate, and they disobeyed. Thankfully, that was an event that took place that was not an event that sealed them for eternity. I'm hoping to see Adam and Eve in glory when we get to be in our resurrected form. They got to meet with God. But God gave them a test, and they failed. And all of humanity then was placed under a test. So just as we close, God is testing his creation to find out who wants to worship, glorify, and adore him. And as we'll see just a tiny bit more at 11 o'clock, every once in a while I go to a conference for my CPA licensing, and usually when I arrive, they've got multiple tables all put out. And on that table, if I know my alphabet, I know I need to go down here because there's going to be a name tag for Glenn Delingdish. They have prepared for me. You know what the wonder is? God prepared the name tag for every single human being on planet Earth. But now he puts them to the test. Will you believe me or will you not? That's the nugget that I have not always taken into the picture of my understanding of salvation. Yes, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a sinner and I deserve hell in the lake of fire. Yes, he put my sins on the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's wanting to test me to find out, do I want to worship, glorify, praise him? Because he doesn't want robots. He doesn't want somebody who does not want to be with him spending eternity giving him praise and glory and honor. We'll pick up on this a little more at 11 o'clock. What a wonder God has worked out in salvation, giving us the ability to choose. And you know what? I think all of us here this morning that know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say, I want to be with my God forever so that I can praise and worship Him. Our God and Father, we thank You this morning for the reflections again on Your incredible gift to us. We'll look at a little bit more at that 11 o'clock. I thank You that You came into the fabric of this world that You created, and You placed before us the test. And we thank You that we came to the realization that we want to be with You forever and ever. Father, I clearly remember when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the center of my concern. I did not want to spend eternity in hell. I wanted to spend eternity with You. Thank You that You are a gentle, kind God and not willing to push Your desires on us in this matter. You desire those that want to be with You. Pray that our hearts will be encouraged as we continue to be vessels to communicate this wondrous news to the people of the world. May we be given strength. We pray these things now in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.